If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What time is it?
Bum-ba-da-bum.
You're locked into the flagship, an Ole Miss podcast powered by College Corner.
Here we go.
1, 2, 3. Get your daily Rebel sports fix at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com.
Welcome in to the flagship. I'm your host, Zach Berry. It is time. Week zero is here. We've got football, college football this weekend. So, of course, that means that we're bringing Hit That Line back. The Legal Gambling Council has returned. I know a lot of you have been looking forward to this one coming back as we have a lot of fun. And, look, we had a hell of a year last year. We picked a lot of winners. So if you were tailing me and the fellas, you probably had a pretty good return on your investment last year. But before we bring in the council, I do want to remind you the show is brought to you each and every day by our good friends at College Corner. 3 locations, Oxford, Ridgeland, Flowood. Go check them out. Get ready for the Grove. And if you can't get to one of the brick and mortar, you can go check them out, collegecornerstore.com. Game one will be a whiteout. College Corner has got plenty of white apparel for you to purchase for that game. So we are going to get this show started. We're kind of like a season preview episode. We're not going to run through every game. You know, we're not going to really go deep into Furman or Wake Forest, but we're going to hit the high points. We're going to play the hits for you. We're going to talk SEC. We're going to talk expectations. And then, you know, maybe talk a little limitations, you know, what could possibly be the sticking point for this Ole Miss team that is arguably the best collection of talent that that we've seen in Oxford in some time. And the expectations are, and I think the council would agree, the highest that they've ever been. So without further ado, let's bring them in. We've got Austin. We've got Ben here. Gentlemen, good evening. It's another year. How we doing?
Awesome. Well said.
I think so. Let's start here. And before I forget, as you can see down there on the ticker, title sponsor of Hit That Line the past couple years, and they are back. Home Field Apparel. Check them out. Homefieldapparel.com. VIP boxes. They sold out quick, fast, and in a hurry, but they are frantically trying to get them back. You've got some 88, you got some 97 designs in the Ole Miss box. I thought they were pretty cool. So go check them out. If you try to get a VIP box, or if you're just trying to get any kind of merch, whether it's Ole Miss or UC Santa Cruz or Washington, whatever, if you go to homefieldapparel.com, use promo code LASTDANCE24, and you'll get 15% off that first purchase. We're not going to really touch on the non-con. We don't need to. I don't think there's any roadblocks there at all. Ole Miss will be fine. For me, the task in this offseason has been trying to find the roadblock or find the game that could potentially be a wart for this Ole Miss team. I think just by default, we'll get to Georgia. That's obviously the one that is, I think, could be the only game this Ole Miss team is not favored. Maybe one of two, because at LSU, at night, whatever. That's got to be the easy answer, right? Because Ole Miss hasn't won there since 2008. I think people forget that, but it has to be the LSU game, right? That's kind of the turning point for this team. Is this going to be a real deal, surefire college football playoff team, or will they be sweating and waiting on the committee if they cannot get it done in Baton Rouge?
Yeah, I think the game of the year number right now for LSU is LSU minus three. Now, obviously, that's going to fluctuate as – you know, the season plays out and we see what LSU has. And look, we can save it for later, but I'll just say people who are expecting natural positive regression for LSU's defense because it was historically bad, I think they're not being logically consistent by not expecting negative regression from LSU's offense, which was damn near historically good, right? If you think the defense can only get better because how could they get worse? Well, it should also stand to reason that the offense can only get worse because it can't get much better than the Heisman Trophy winner and, you know, two NFL receivers and a running back, by the way, which is no longer on the roster either. So
it wasn't just Heisman Trophy quarterback. It was like a historically good passing quarterback, especially down the field. Like he was one of the best deep ball quarterbacks of all time, maybe the best deep ball quarterback of all time.
We may have talked about this on the show last year. I know we talked about it group text. That was the best performance by a quarterback from a passing standpoint I've ever seen in Vaught Hemingway. Cam Newton was incredible, but he didn't pass like that against us. No. He just ran all over us, and we were terrible. We were a bad team. That performance last year was incredible. Yeah.
Correct. Agreed. Better than Burroughs. And they blew Ole Miss out in 2019.
Yeah, because a blowout game, but – Burrow had two interceptions, and they were bad.
Yeah. Daniels rarely ever made mistakes. He did have the fumble early against us. Yeah. I just – it's hard for me to believe that unless LSU jumps like 300 or 400% better on defense this year, that there's not – I mean, their offense is not going to be able to make up enough. Surely. It would be – it's difficult for me to see that. Nussmeier or whoever the starter is – this year is going to have to be a spectacular player because it's not only him. I mean, we hear all the podcasts and all the pundits or whatever talking about how good their receiver room is. I mean, are they going to be able to keep up with what they had going last year? Who they have? Brian Thomas.
And Malik Nabers.
Malik Nabers. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
More guys.
Daniels bailed them out so many times with his legs over the course of the season. And so, look, that's another thing. I hear everybody's in love with LSU's offensive line, and I get it. They have two NFL tackles that, you know, that's more than half the battle when you have tackles like that, right? Yeah. But they had those same tackles last year, and Daniels had to run on how many third downs to keep the chains moving? A lot, very often, including against Ole Miss. And we did not exactly have a ferocious pass rush last year.
Yeah, well, I said it earlier, but it was in the middle of Ben – given a point there, so I may not hurt. He ran for over 1,000 yards last year.
Yeah.
And a lot of that was scrambling. It wasn't designed runs.
No, it was not designed runs. That's right.
That's not to say that they can't be elite. It's just like, and I'm not saying that this is a fall off like after Cam Newton left Auburn, but it's just one of the, I don't know. I truly believe that Austin is correct in that there's going to be some regression on offense. Their defense is going to get better. But when it comes to an overall win total improvement, it's going to be schedule dependent only. Like, I don't think we're going to say, okay, LSU lost two first round receivers and the Heisman Trophy quarterback winner, and now suddenly they're going to go from what did they go, 9-3 last year, to 10-2 or 11-1. Or, I mean, put in perspective, their early line against A&M, I think they're a dog, maybe 3 or 3.5 points. And we all know, I mean, A&M may be, they may be very talented this year, but they've got a coaching change and a huge hemorrhage of players in the portal.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't think it's talked about enough, but the offensive line, the offensive coordinator is gone, went to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Weird thing last year was LSU's secondary was terrible.
Awful.
And I mean, this is a program that argues for DBU.
DBU.
And they were 92nd in the country in team coverage grade per PFF. I mean, best offense in America, not even close, still lost 3 games because of that.
And by the way, they didn't bring anybody in on the defensive side of the ball either. Now, I know they got Mizzou's defensive coordinator, and coaching matters. I'm not going to deny that. But if you don't have the dudes, how much can the coach actually improve this defense? Let's say they finish middle of the pack, 50th. Is that good enough to overcome their losses on offense? I'm not so sure.
I don't think so. Here's some numbers here. Yards per play allowed last year, 6.1.
That's crazy.
Successful play rate allowed 36.5%. I mean, they were really good against the run, but like that yards per play number, that is gargantuan.
Yeah.
6.1. I mean, that's it's crazy. Look, they added CJ Daniels, the wideout from Liberty, really good. Xavier Thomas from Mississippi State, solid. I'm not gonna say he's gonna be great, but he's a good addition. And then they get Jordan Gilbert from A&M, who's just a experienced SEC safety. So nothing really notable on the defensive side, and it seems like they're still slamming their head into a wall about Harold Perkins. They're not putting him on the edge. Right. I don't get it.
They brought in an FCS defensive tackle, right? In the spring portal, I think they brought in an FCS guy.
That sounds right.
Yes, they did. I was on mute. I can't think of where he is from. It's like Austin Peay or something. It's like Southeast Missouri.
And look, I like the kid from Liberty too, Zach. And God knows Ole Miss has done well plucking guys out of the Group of Five and, getting good ROI on those players. But I don't think it's a given that you can just expect that at every program with every player. I mean, Liberty plays a really soft schedule. SEC corners are different than the types of corners that guy feasted on at Liberty. They just are. So we'll see. I mean, he may be incredible. Maybe the best receiver in the country. I don't know. I'm just saying, banking on him replacing Neighbors and Brian Thomas, I can't go there.
I mean, is he any better than Juice Wells? You know what I'm saying?
No.
JVR Suggs from Grand Valley State.
There you go.
There you go.
Grand Valley State. Yeah.
Is that D2?
That's who LSU is plucking in the spring portal. Like, that does not bode well for their defensive line.
Like Austin said, the biggest question is the offense and how you're going to replace the Heisman Trophy winner and the two first-round picks at wide receiver.
Logan Diggs at running back.
Yeah, and your top running back, the guy that ran for the most yards outside of Jaden Daniels. Even if Nussmeier is good, like let's say he's solid to pretty good. Like you said, is that going to be enough to offset the defense that – sure, different coach, so new philosophy potentially. Coaching does matter. We saw that sure as hell matters. Pete Golden got to Ole Miss, but Ole Miss added dudes on that defense. So it kind of goes back to the people argue both sides of this all the time, you know, where it's like, is returning production that is average to bad, does that really matter? Where it's like, oh, well, they got a bunch of guys coming back. It's like, those guys that are coming back sucked last year. Does that really, do you care? I've been beating this drum for like a month or so now. I think this is where Ole Miss breaks the streak. I think Ole Miss goes down there and handles LSU. I think I've told y'all, I don't think it'll be particularly close. I think this Ole Miss team is built to win on the road, win tough games, because you look at the offensive line that's been revamped, and then you've got the weapons outside with Trey Harris, Jordan Watkins, Caden Priest cornerback, but then you add in Juice Wells, you add in Daquan Wright at tight end. I don't think he's getting talked about enough. I think they're going to play them both on the field at the same time. It's going to put people in a bind. And then you got a healthy Ulysses Bentley. You have a really good group of five running back in Rashad Amos. And then by that point, you probably think Logan Diggs is potentially ready to go. So, and oh, by the way, Henry Parrish is back. So, I mean, that's a lot of experience, a lot of snaps, and guys that are going to know the deal at that point. I mean, Parrish knows the playbook. Bentley knows the playbook. And, you know, Amos and Diggs have had time to learn it. But I don't know. The only weak spot that I see for Ole Miss is the offensive line. I won't call it a weak spot. I'll say a question mark. It's like, who's going to be the five? Because they're going to have a lot of options. I think that's the biggest question mark for me, is how will that shake out? And, you know, can they put the best five on the field on offensive line?
Look, you mentioned 08 the last time we were in Baton Rouge and to come out of there with a W, right? This current Ole Miss team looks a little bit like that 08 team. I think the talent on this roster is much better top to bottom. But think about it. You got a gutty, scrappy quarterback, and rest in peace, Jevon Snead. I think Dart compares favorably to Snead. Maybe Snead's arm is a little bigger, probably, but you have elite talent at wide receiver, a guy that can stretch the field. You've got a steady, if unspectacular, sort of stable of running backs like we had in 08, a veteran offensive line, absolute disruptors on the defensive line. If that's the recipe, if that's the formula, I like our chances. And again, the line tells me at 2, 2.5, that's basically pick on a neutral. I think we're better than LSU on a neutral. So we'll see. There's still plenty of time for that market to shape up. But I think, it's like we said, this is a grab your nuts and win the game.
It's not impossible to go down there and win. I mean, Tennessee beat them 40-13 in Tiger Stadium 2 years ago.
Yep.
In 22. Now, that was – I'm not big on this whole night game voodoo stuff, but that was a morning kick. And to your point, Austin, I think, and again, this is nothing more than talking about speaking to them as football players, but I think Jackson Dart is a bigger winner than Jevon Snead was. And that's not to take away from Jevon. That's to talk about – that's praise for Dart as to how gutsy he can be. I mean, no matter what. It just feels like we're never truly out. Now, this is keeping the Georgia game last year in mind too. But other than that, we're never truly out of the game, at least from the team having bought in to the game. We have not quit, is what I'm
saying. Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a Dart thing or just the makeup of this team. And to your point about 2008, I'm not so sure that this roster isn't better in the back end on defense than that one. I certainly don't think, and I appreciate him as a player, but like Marche, I don't know that Marche starts on this team. And
probably not.
I mean, Kendrick Lewis probably does. He played in the NFL for a while. But at corner, I don't know if those guys – maybe they do, and that's not to speak ill of them. They're great players, all-time players. I mean, Marche had a great Cotton Bowl. I think he had a pick six in the Cotton Bowl and that year. But, you know, there's a lot of similarities. You got Walter Nolan on this team. That team had Parre Jerry. You've got Umami Allen on this team. That team had Greg Hardy. You've got – you know, it's a lot of similarities. Now, that team did have Patrick Trahan, did have Ashley Palmer. It's incredible that team got beat by Vanderbilt. I mean, it is like when you talk about their players, I don't know how that happens. I really don't.
Jonathan Cornell was on that
team. When you talk about how many good players there are, the Florida upset doesn't seem that crazy.
It really doesn't.
I'm not saying that you expect them to win, but like it's very much a man-on-man type situation.
You can.
Was it six turnovers against Vandy that year? Something like that.
Yeah,
that
probably. Crazy.
I've seen a lot of people point to last year's Florida State team as a good comp for this Ole Miss team because of all the transfers, experienced quarterback, deep. I mean, we're almost 20 minutes into this podcast, and we just brought up Walter Nolan and Prince Umiamielen. Mm-hmm. I think that that front seven is probably the best front seven Ole Miss has had since 2014, and then after that, it was probably 2008, mm-hmm. right?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the Ashley Palmer, Patrick Trahan, and then I brought up Jonathan Cornell on that 08 team. Well, now you all of a sudden look up and you've got Pooh Paul, who was Arkansas's leading tackler, played a lot of ball. You've got
Kari Coleman.
Kari Coleman, who's played a lot of ball. You played a lot of TCU Daugherty. For Ole Miss mm-hmm. last year. Yeah, you got TJ Daugherty now. I mean, they got some dudes at linebacker. You got Hunterian Perkins, who's kind of mm-hmm. a hybrid, is the linebacker, edge, whatever. And there's a lot of talent in that front seven. And then, you know, oh, by the way, J.J. Pegues is back. Jared Ivey's back. Xavier Harris is back. You know, there's a lot of buzz about true sophomore Jamarius Brown. Then a lot of people are talking about how good Cam Franklin and William Eccles have been. So, like, it's a good problem to have for Ole Miss where you're trying – like I mentioned with the offensive line. You got to find the right mix. You got to find the right group. I mean – I imagine Pete Golding will probably be doing some hockey line changes on defense just because they're going to have so many guys. They're going to want to keep them fresh. But, yeah, it's not crazy to say this Ole Miss team could go 11-1.
No, I don't think that's crazy. No. You mentioned the skepticism at linebacker. I think some of that's fair, but a good front four, an elite front four, protects average linebackers. You just fill the gap, stick your nose in there and make a play. I think we've got guys that can do that. Y'all remember some of the names that have played for us over the years. You know, I'm not going to go through them out of respect for them. I mean, I'm an Ole Miss fan. I love what they did for the program, and they did the best they could in most cases. But the guys that we've trotted out there for the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, a lot of those guys would not even sniff starting at linebacker on this roster. They wouldn't even get PT, get any reps. So I understand that relative to the other parts of the defense, they may be the weak link in the chain. Maybe, I guess we'll see. But I think that only speaks to the strengths of the other parts of the defense. You know, safety, corner, a really deep, and as Lane Kiffin described it, elite defensive line. I just think that covers for a lot of flaws. If you have a guy like Nolan, like Princely, like Ivy, like Piggies, like Harris, like Brown, like some of the freshmen that can disrupt a game plan, you know, you don't need Poopall to be Lawrence Taylor. You just need him to be an average SEC linebacker, which he's been his whole career. And I don't have any reason to think he's going to suddenly not be now that he's in Oxford.
Yeah, playing behind a better D-line than he had in Arkansas. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, anyway.
Outside of LSU, what's the other one that sticks out?
I think it's got to be Oklahoma because there's so much potential, I think, for variance for Oklahoma. You can find opinions all over the board. A lot of people think they're going to have one of the best defenses in the country, not just in the conference, but in the country. A lot of people are in love with Jackson Arnold, or at least the potential of Jackson Arnold. They've got weapons outside. They brought in the transfer wide receiver from Purdue, whose name escapes me right now, but really good player. Deion Burks. Yeah. Yeah. He's going to be one of the best in the conference. Probably. And, you know, their schedule is brutal. So by that point in the season, you know, could some guys be eyeing the draft or the portal? Maybe. But, you know, they open with Tennessee at home. I think they get Tennessee. That's Oklahoma's first SEC home game. Nico, true freshman coming in to, or I guess redshirt freshman, coming into that environment. I think OU probably starts out more strongly than we would prefer as Ole Miss fans. And by that point in the season, I let's just hope maybe there's been some tread knocked off those tires. I think they got to be number two on the list.
Well, fortunately for us, we catch them. They play Tennessee on the 21st. Then they go to Auburn on the 28th. Mm-hmm. Then they get a bye week, and then they play Texas.
Yeah.
And then they play South Carolina, and then they play us. So they have a 1, 2, 3, 4. We're the fifth of five straight SEC games there against Oklahoma, and we get them at home. So now it may be a tough spot for us too, because is that coming off of the LSU game? Or when do we catch them?
I believe so.
We may have a bye before that, right?
Yeah, and we have a bye. That's a win. That's a bad spot for Oklahoma. It's a schedule win. I mean, I'm not saying that I think Ole Miss has a better team than Oklahoma this year, but that's also a good spot on the schedule for us. Whereas, like we talk, not to belabor the point on LSU, that's a bad schedule spot for us there and great for LSU. The Oklahoma game is opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the pretty potential to be a pretty volatile team week in, week out because of Jackson Arnold's uber talented, but I mean, Arizona quickly figured him out. And I know it's just a bowl game, whatever, but first start, he had five turnover worthy plays in that game. I will say one of them was not his fault. I believe it was a tip pass, a juggled pass, and they picked it off. But yeah, he looked like a freshman standing in the pocket way too long. He didn't get out and get rid of the football, made some bad throws, tried to do too much. But yeah, I think that, you know, how's he going to look at that fifth week in that stretch? And then, you know, you got the body blow theory where first year in the SEC, week in, week out, playing that schedule. You know, what's that team look like at that point in the season, which would be right at the end of October, where it's you know, that's when you're kind of figuring out, okay, this is what this season's going to be.
Well, let's look at that. You talk about the body blow. Let's think about Oklahoma for a second. That we would be the fifth of five straight SEC games where they would have played Tennessee. Now they're used to playing Texas, South Carolina. Okay, let's talk about South Carolina. Everybody's saying that they're likely to be down this year. We don't know, but let's just say that they're down this year. Okay, would you with that in mind? Would you rather play South Carolina or would you rather play Colorado? Would you rather play South Carolina or would you rather play Kansas? Kansas is going to be decent this year. Arizona State, like my point is, if you put South Carolina, who's going to be down in our league this year, into the Big 12, are they a top three team in the Big 12? Are they a top five team in the Big 12? Are they probably a top three team in the SEC East if it still existed? Like probably not. I mean, the point is like, this is a different – Oklahoma is a great, all-time great football program. Of the two that are coming, and it may just be a timing issue, I think they suffered the most with the move. Now, they're going to financially benefit. And maybe in 10 years they figured it out by that point. They become the new Alabama. I guess that's possible. But in terms of just immediately translating, I'm not finding that. They've had a lot of Heisman winners in the last 10 or 20 or 30 years or whatever, and won a lot of football games. But I mean, I could see, and I'm not saying that Oklahoma is going to be a bad team. I just don't know that anything about them suggests that they're going to be better than an 8.5 win team in this conference right now. Like I think 7.5 to 8.5 is more likely than the 9.5 or 10.5 to 11.5 that they were taking advantage of in the Big 12, because an Oklahoma season was, okay, we got to play Texas, which that game is weird every year, not to go all Egg Bowl type, you know, lingo on it, but that game is weird. You never know who's going to win it. So they have to play the Red River, and then they either have to beat Baylor, Oklahoma State, or TCU when one of those teams is good, because nobody else in that league ever gets hot and becomes good. But like Oklahoma, this is a team that nearly lost to Tulane at home last year or the year before. And so, I mean, this is
they did lose to Kansas last year.
Correct. So, and I'm not trying to, again, say that they're coming in and going 6-6. I just don't know that they are going to be like leaps ahead. who's to say Oklahoma is anything different than Auburn in 5 years?
Like, yeah, I would bet on it. Yeah,
program than Auburn in 5 years,
maybe not in this conference. I don't know that they can be better than Auburn in the SEC. Now, historically, they're better than Auburn, sure, but in this conference, correct. I don't know.
I'm not talking about the 80s and Switzer and I look, I get it, man. They're awesome, like great, like top five football program ever, probably college football. But like, they come into this league in 2024, and now you've got to deal with us, and you've got to deal with even when LSU's down, they're still going to have better athletes than you. Even like LSU has better athletes than Oklahoma, they have better recruiting ground territory. They're going to be better than Oklahoma. Now, they may not have better quarterbacks always, but they've had two really good ones in the last 5 years. And LSU is what would you consider them, a 9.5 win team right now, 8.5 win team? When I'm saying like a 5-year average is, I mean, I'm putting Ole Miss in that category too. Like, we'll say Ole Miss is a 9.5 win team, LSU's a 9.5 win team, Auburn's probably 6.5 win team. But point is, like, I don't think Oklahoma's coming in. Like, they dominated the Big 12. They were like a college football playoff contender every year. I don't know that that's happening here. I mean, it would not surprise any of us, I don't think, if Oklahoma played a game in Lexington and lost.
The market agrees with you. Their win total this year is 7.5.
Yeah, there you go.
7.5. Again, credit to them. Like you said, they've won the games that they should have won. They built their blood rep, in my opinion, on a lot of cupcakes. But you still have to beat those teams, and they did that. They did that. They dominated their conference. They dominated decades at a time in college football, but that was not in the SEC. It was not. No. So we'll see going forward. And again, I'm not burying them as a program. They will be good. There will be years, and hell, it could be this year where they win 10 games, 11 games, and they contend.
Yeah,
I don't think it's
going to
be this year.
They're going to make college football playoffs. But for the days of them having Heisman quarterbacks every other year or in the conversation, that ain't happening anymore, dog.
And the days when you could circle Texas, and of course they will continue to circle Texas. Don't get me wrong. Red River will always be Red River. But you can afford to circle Texas and highlight it, underline it, double stamp it, whatever, when you have Baylor before and Texas Tech after. It's different when you have Bama before and Georgia after.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my big question mark for Oklahoma and Texas coming in is, you know, we've talked about this before where it's like, hey, no longer are you going to Ames to play Iowa State, and then you turn around and then you get sleepy Baylor at 11 a.m. at McLean Stadium. No, like, now you got to go on the road to Sanford Stadium and play Georgia, and then you got to turn around and go to, you know, Davis Reynolds and play, you know, maybe they're terrible, but it's still a road game at Arkansas, and that place is weird. At least in my opinion, for the first 2-3 years, it's going to be everyone's Super Bowl for Texas and Oklahoma because of the brand recognition. But also, you know, you're the pledge, like you're new, like you know, people want to get after you. So,
I mean, this year they have Tennessee on September 21, at Auburn the next week. Okay, I mean, let's be honest. We make fun of Freeze.
Auburn will be
in the flames in the mouth. They're going to get that ass whipped. Is what's
for sure.
Jordan Hare, regardless of the head coach, is still crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's a loud place, and so
look, that's going to be. Go ahead.
I was going to say it's like Williams-Brice, like South Carolina. Regardless of how good they are, it doesn't matter. The crowds show up.
That will be their welcome to the SEC moment for Oklahoma. Because I think they're going to beat Tennessee at home. I really do. But I think on the road the next week, you're flying high. You got that first SEC dub going down to Auburn. I think it's going to be an oh shit moment for that fan base. Like, they're going to be like, oh my God, if this is what it's like on the road every week, this is not, they ain't the Big 12 anymore.
Then they get spanked there. Then they have to play Texas. And let's just, even if Oklahoma wins at Auburn, or what, which I think will be, it's going to be a sobering reality of like, dude, you host Tennessee, then we have to go to Auburn. And this is not an expected great team this year, right? Like, what about the year where you host Tennessee and then you got to go to Georgia and then you come back at home and play LSU and then you go back on the road to Florida back to back to back to back to back? It's like, this ain't Lawrence or Manhattan or whatever. Like, no, you're going into 90,000 person or even in Oxford. So it's hard to come to Ole Miss and win. We never lose at home now. Think about how many home games we lost under, you know, post-COVID Kiffin. I mean, none. We lose to Alabama at home.
State has a pulse, it's not easy to win in Starkville.
No.
Yeah.
That's one. Yes.
Kiffin's had the ball in the air to win the game against Alabama. Mm-hmm. And then lost a weird Egg Bowl in the rain. Had a good play call to go for two.
That's one inexcusable loss at home.
Yeah,
that I can remember in the last 3 years.
But
in a pretty critical drop by an NFL wide receiver.
This, I mean, Oklahoma potentially could start 0-3 in the SEC. Could lose to Tennessee, could lose at Auburn, could lose to Texas, and then you're licking your wounds and you're having to circle the wagons against South Carolina, and then you got to go to Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And then you get a break with Maine, then you got to go to Missouri. Then you host Alabama. Then you go to LSU.
And let's not forget the Auburn game. Auburn is likely to be 4-0. They're going to have started their year with three non-conference wins, and then they host Arkansas, which they'll likely win, and then they'll be 4-0. And we all know how Freeze gets when the revival is going. It's going.
Well, he'll be dancing on a chair with a couple snakes, and they'll be fired up.
Is that a night game? Do we know? OU at Auburn?
No, TBD.
TBD.
Okay.
Yeah, And then Texas is afternoon because it's always afternoon. Mm-hmm. Everything else is TBD in the SEC.
See, that's another thing that I thought was an advantage of the Oklahoma game being at 11 for Ole Miss is all of our Texas students are used to cheering against Oklahoma at 11 a.m. So, it works out perfect.
Yeah.
It's going to be don't get me wrong. I don't mind kick times or whatever. I would prefer night games. But if we're going to be the early kick, we got to own it, man. You just got to – and we did a good job last – we've done a good job the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. Like the Kentucky game a couple years ago, Kentucky brought a big crowd. But the students, the fans showed up and were loud.
Yep.
Yeah.
A&M last year, too, that was a day game that the crowd influenced that game. I mean
– yeah. I don't mind, but I'm old now. College, I wouldn't be thrilled with
it. No, I get it. Especially, like you said, if you're a student, I get wanting Georgia at 6. I get wanting OU at 6. You want to enjoy the day.
What is it? The student tickets, was it north of 12,000 were sold or something crazy?
Like 13,000 or something, right? Yeah. Something crazy, yeah.
Let's get to these other two important games. We brought up South Carolina. Let's talk about South Carolina. So, I don't know, man. You lose Spencer Rattler, who I don't think that guy got enough credit for the shit that he had to go through, and he dragged them to wins. Mm-hmm. Lenore Sellers takes over under center. Maybe we'll be good, but the guy's only thrown 4 passes in his career. You do add Rocket Sanders. That's going to help. That's a really good running back. He's played a lot of SEC football. They get Jared Brown, wide receiver from Coastal Carolina, that was really good up there with Grayson McCall. And then Kyle Kennard, an edge guy from Georgia Tech that Ole Miss was trying to get. Outside of, Space Odyssey and Sandstorm and it just being wild and crazy, and you kind of expect Ole Miss to maybe come out a little flat. That's a game that I think you just throw your helmet out there and you're like, in 2024, this Ole Miss helmet that we roll out there is better. Mm-hmm. And that's just a road SEC game that you just have to win, 31-13.
Here's what that game is going to be.
Go ahead, man.
Y'all know me. I'm a schedule guy. South Carolina gets basically a full month to prepare for Ole Miss. They open up with Old Dominion, which ODU can be tricky. They go to Kentucky, and then they play LSU. But after that, they get Akron at home, a bye week, and then Ole Miss. So if they're going to treat the Sunday after LSU, they're starting to prepare for us, which is September 15th. They don't play us for 20 days. at that point. So they're going to have 3 full weeks to prepare for Ole Miss while we host Kentucky the week before. Now, we have a 4-week ramp up to Kentucky, so we should know everything, frankly, about Kentucky and South Carolina by the time we play South Carolina. But in schedule spots, that's not a great one for us, and it's a really good one for South Carolina. Now, I think that the wheels could be wobbly because they could lose to both Kentucky and LSU, but nevertheless, that's an interesting schedule spot for us.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing too. It's like the schedule sets up better for South Carolina there, but it's kind of where, you know, we talk about it all the time. We pick games. I'm of the opinion, I look at two spots. I look at quarterback and I look at the trenches. Ole Miss has the better quarterback and Ole Miss has the better O-line and D-line. So that's just, again, you just got to go win that game. When you're a college football playoff team, you just go win those games.
I think
if South Carolina is great for them, by the way, they go.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Ole Miss at home, at Alabama, at Oklahoma.
Takes A&M.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, strap up. I'm skeptical of really there may be like 5 programs in the country that I think can line up and do old school smash mouth football, like road grade you with bigger NFL offensive linemen, NFL backs, an NFL quarterback. There are like 4 or 5 of those programs that could still do that. I'm not even saying there are 5 that actually still do it. I think there are 4 or 5 that could do it. Michigan did it last year en route to a national championship. They're going to try to do it. And also cheating. I think South Carolina is going to try to do that this year with lesser parts. I don't think they're going to be able to line up and road grade us. I think they're going to try, but I think Sellers is not really a downfield threat. I don't like their weapons on the outside. I think they're going to turn around and hand the ball to Rocket Sanders 30 times and try to win 27-24, something like that. I don't think they can do that. This is not Bama of the mid-teens. This is not modern-day Georgia or Michigan or this year's iteration of Ohio State. I don't think that approach is going to serve them. But it may be the only option they have. You know, if you don't have the tools, you don't have the tools. But I think they're going to try to
scratch everything I said. If they're doing pro style or whatever you're calling, like, yeah, no, that won't work.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they come out throwing the ball 60 times a game. I just don't see it with Sellers at quarterback. And they went and got Rocket Sanders for a reason. Now, in today's game, I think it's silly to spend NIL dollars on an SEC back with not much tread left on the tire who is injury prone and at times can be overweight. I think that was a silly investment on their part, but it's not my money, so it doesn't matter what I think, right? I expect them to do that because I don't think Sellers has any options out wide, and I don't think he's really a good downfield passer. Let me put it this way. We haven't seen him do that yet in his career. So if they're expecting to just line up and run over us, I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't think you're going to limit a Lane Kiffin offense with our weapons to like less than 35 against this defense.
Yeah.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water. Enjoy. And watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy. And order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The big thing for me with South Carolina is the offensive line. Mm-hmm. I know how bad it was last year. I mean, Rattler ran for his life all year.
Yeah.
Fourth lowest graded unit in Power Five last season.
Oh, God.
Brought in transfers.
All units?
Huh?
All units? So that includes like fourth lowest period?
Yeah.
Who was worse?
That's a good question.
Air Force's receivers? Like, I mean, what, you know?
They brought in some transfers, but none of them are expected to start as of this moment. So
yeah.
It's you're bringing back dudes that weren't good. So that is a big question for me. The other one that's fascinating is Nicholas Harbor. Just freak of nature.
Freak, right.
Yeah. Like, probably could run track in the Olympics. I've heard from tons of people that the big thing with him is questioning whether or not he actually likes football. Where it's he has all the physical ability to be a monster, but does he really want to do it, or would he rather just run track? Because he could be a weapon because he's a 4.3 guy, he's huge. He can go and jump, all of that. But, yeah, I mean, that's the question. Like, does he really care enough to play football? I've heard that from tons of people.
By that point in the year, we will know.
How much tread is left on Rocket Sanders' tires? They also brought in Oscar Attaway from North Texas. So there's someone else there to help spell Rocket Sanders. But, yeah, I mean – and they're probably – it's kind of funny, but with Rocket Sanders, they're probably going to basically run a little bit of what Arkansas did with K.J. Jefferson with Sellers.
Exactly.
Big guy, 240 pounds. He can run it. They're probably going to do a lot of zone read stuff and try to, you know, chew the clock down.
Exactly. That's exactly what I expect. So, look, I expect worst-case scenario for us is that it looks a lot like the 22 Texas A&M game. Where we kind of had to sweat more than we would have preferred. We ended up playing a little ball control ourselves and salted them away. But look, I think that A&M roster is better than the South Carolina roster.
Oh, yeah. And mentioning the offensive line, and what's one of Ole Miss's strengths this year?
Defensive line.
Yeah, D-line, for sure.
So that's where you win the game.
Let's play that game real quick. Unit by unit comparison to last year, all right? Quarterback, we're the same or better. I mean, one more year for Dart, right?
Right.
Running backs, step back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say that, or it's a wash just because.
I'll call it a reduction. We'll give it a reduction.
Yeah. Offensive line.
Better. Should be better.
Receivers.
Step
better.
Up. Big one.
Better.
Yep.
Tight ends. Better.
Better.
Defensive line.
Better.
Better. Linebacker.
Better.
Better.
Who started the linebacker for us last year?
Exactly.
Exactly. I really can't remember. Like, I'm sitting here like, yeah. I remember 2 years ago. Who started last year?
Now I'm trying to figure it out.
Like, Chance Campbell and Mark Robinson, and those guys are playing in like 20.
Jeremiah Jean-Baptiste.
Jean-Baptiste played a good bit, yeah.
You had Ashanti Sistrunk.
Sistrunk played a lot.
He played Ari Coleman. Mm-hmm. Monty Montgomery played a good bit. Montgomery
played a little bit, yeah.
Tyler Banks
never. I would have never. And it, I mean, respect to him, we went 11-2. So it's not. This is no disrespect at all. But it's kind of like Kiffin said after the Georgia game, we got to look different.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we didn't get to it, but secondary better.
Yeah, I think you could – let's divide it up, though. Corner, I think, is probably even. Because, look, Walton and Prince were pretty damn good.
Yeah.
But I think
– safety, I think better.
There's a legit chance that you could have two guys that go in the NFL in Isaiah Hamilton and Amos from Alabama.
Amos, yeah.
Also, don't get lost on, like – and this is not because the personnel is different or the staff is different, but the coaching will be, it's another year in Golding's system. Mm-hmm. Like I remember that interview where he was like, guys, that was, let's say, and I don't want to paraphrase this wrong. Y'all probably heard it, but like if the book is 1,000 pages, we had like 10 covered last year or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's a lot to the system that we didn't even implement because there wasn't enough time to, and there may not be enough time to do it all ever because of the portal, but you know, it's just another year of him being here in Oxford.
Yeah. So safety's better, eight corner wash. So I guess for people wondering why, like, you're not hearing a ton of negativity out of Ole Miss's camp, I think we just answered the question. Like, yeah, that's why.
Yeah. It's very
because we're better at almost every position.
It's very frustrating when I hear people are like, well, nobody's saying enough negative. Nobody's being objected or saying enough negative things or whatever. And I'm like, sure, but nobody – I don't know an Ole Miss fan who's calling for – now, the players are, and I want them to strive for this, but no sensible – I don't know that anybody in the country really goes into a season, except for your, you know, 85% or Alabama fan that says, oh, we're going to win the national championship or bust. Like, right. Nobody's saying that. Like, I don't know that many Ole Miss fans expect to make the national championship. I think everybody, and I think every school should be this way, even if you're a top four team, which what is Ole Miss, number five or six, just expect to make the playoff. And then once you get in the playoff, then like weird things happen, man. Like that's just part of it. And I don't know a single Ole Miss fan who would say, yeah, I mean, if we made the playoff and got bounced, that'd be a disappointment. Now, me and y'all talking, if we make the playoff and we match up with a G5 opponent,
we got to win that game.
And we lose, I'm going to be disappointed. But short of that, I'm probably not going to be. I mean,
but look, it's a good year. This is a gambling podcast. We're a favorite to make the playoff.
Correct.
That's why there's not a lot of negative shit to talk about.
Yes, like, that's right.
We are one of a handful of teams who are favored to make the playoff.
Yes. What are our odds, like fifth or sixth best in the country or something?
Yeah. To make the playoff? We're -130 as of like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So you have to bet $130 to win 100 on Ole Miss to make the playoff, not the other way around. And think about how many college football teams there are. Like you would think it would be good odds if we were +700. We'd be like, well, I mean, we got a chance. We slip up talking, enough sets of people.
You're talking Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Texas. And then I think we're next.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
Ole Miss and Alabama. Even Alabama, and that's look, that's what you want to be. Like if you've got the same odds as the Tide, then you know
what a world. All right, final bullet here on the docket in terms of season preview, looking at games that are important. This one's incredibly just fascinating to me because we talked about it last week. And just how crazy the schedule is for Florida. This game has the potential to be very weird, not only because of just the forced narrative of Lane Kiffin to Florida that will be the buildup all week, because I do think at this point Florida will be reeling. But I mean, just the roller coaster of a year that could happen in Gainesville, where you start. Let's look at the schedule. could start out.
Some handicapper that I follow said, and I take his word for it, that it's the hardest schedule since they've been tracking schedule difficulty. So the hardest schedule of all time, like literally the hardest schedule of all time.
Yeah, the PFF has it the second strongest schedule behind.
Dude, there's not a tougher schedule than this one. I don't care who they put in front of them. The Buffalo Bills?
SC is harder.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, just because of the Big Ten. Okay, whatever. Okay, here's and we're gonna have some fun here. Opener,
Miami.
Miami. Let's say they win. Samford win.
Yeah.
A&M in the swamp win. Mississippi State win. UCF.
Is it
just for this?
The University of Florida is going to go to Mississippi State and get beat.
Okay, but I'm just saying, just for this.
And we saw that video of that handoff up the middle. We saw with the state.
Okay, just for this exercise, Florida could start 4-5-0, or maybe 6-0.
I mean, let's just give them every game then. I mean, this is Graham Mertz to the Heisman, baby.
Look, just an exercise because look, Graham Mertz was pretty good last year.
No, he was.
Like it's, I had to go back and look, and his stats were good.
Yeah.
But look, just for this exercise, we'll run through the schedule and do a real pick. But maybe 5-1, maybe 4-2. Then it's at Tennessee, Kentucky, at Georgia, at Texas, home against LSU.
Georgia's at home, or it's Jacksonville, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Or yeah,
not a true rare game. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
And then close with Florida State. So could start out 4-1, and then you end up going 4-8.
Yeah.
Or you go 5-7. Like, it's wild of just, yay, awesome start. Billy football's here. Oh, shit. No, we're going 5-7.
Without a bye week, they go Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, Florida State.
And we have a bye week before them, right?
Oh, yeah, we're going to beat Florida. This is not Zach called it fascinating. A lot of people were saying that. If you put Kentucky's logo on their helmet, it wouldn't be. And that's about the same talent level they have right now. They may be a little bit better than that. People are calling them talented, I guess. But, like, at that point in their schedule, no. They'll be a whip dog. And here's the thing about the Kiffin stuff. Austin, I'll let you talk. I know you want to say something.
No, I was just going to mention, you referenced it earlier, the body blow theory that we've talked about for years, where, you know, you play Alabama and your team's broken up for 2 or 3 weeks afterward. You have to dig into your bench, see what kind of depth you've developed, because players are literally knocked out of the game, right? Ole Miss avoids that this year. We avoid a lot of physical teams, actually. The most physical teams in the league, arguably, except for Georgia, but, you know, the A&M, Bama, Texas, Auburn, we don't play in those teams. And Florida does all in a row without a bye, as you just mentioned. Texas, Georgia, LSU, us, and then Florida State to bookend it. I mean, that you talk about a body blow. They may be – who knows who's going to be starting at that point in the year for them. If the wheels have fallen off, are their guys going to dig deep to save Billy's job? Or are they thinking, I got to get ready for the draft? Or, you know, considering their options in the portal. This is like body blows on steroids. I mean, that stretch run is brutal.
So you want to agree. You want an Ole Miss-centric slanted view of the Kiffin to Florida situation. That's inevitably going to happen. All right. He's probably not going to do this because he never – says anything about, or he never puts to bed rumors ever. And I don't know that, maybe it is intentional. I don't know that the guy appreciates how much people hang on his every word during those situations. Maybe he does. Maybe he does. You'd be crazy not to, but maybe not. If Florida is 4-7, or what would they be? That means they would be 4-6 when they played us. Because then they would go 4-7 against us and 4-8 against Florida State. if they are 4-6 when they play us, and Ole Miss is, let's just say, what is that?
8-1 or 9-1.
Okay. Mm-hmm. With Florida and Mississippi State left. That is not a situation where, just my opinion, if you're coaching football to win championships or to make the playoff or whatever, that is a scenario where you go like, guys, stop talking about me going to Florida. I'm not doing it, because that may break up a lot. Like, you're not going to flirt with the 4-7 program or 4-6 program at that time when you are ranked 4th in the country and trying to make the playoff, and you allow that. Like, where I'm going with this is, like, think about the 22 Arkansas game. It's going to be one thing if we're 6-3, right? Mm-hmm. If we're 6-3 and they're 4-6, or 6-4 and they're, or 7-3 and they're 4-6. Well, yeah. I mean, I think that he's probably going to flirt with and possibly take that job. But, like, when we are, if we are 9-1 and we are, like, I mean, we are, like, mobilizing to be the number 5 seed or the number 3 seed, I think they're finally put to bed this year. I truly believe that, and I know you don't stake your life on one season, but there's going to be, again, and this is, I'm telling you, this is an Ole Miss landed. I can make the case for Florida too. I think that Kiffin's next move, regardless, this may be a hot take, is to the NFL.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't think that – why is he going to go rebuild another – I mean, we talk about Florida being a great job. It's been a great job. And the popular thing is, like, you know, elite talent pool or whatever. Two coaches have won there first.
Only two. Yeah.
I was going to say, is it a great job?
And you have to play Georgia every year, and they are not going away.
And Florida State.
And you play LSU every year. Or I don't know if they're going to be the permanent. And you play Florida State every year. And so in a lot of years, you play Miami. And yep. So we're talking about, that's a hard place. And those people don't, 8-4 with those four losses ain't working there. And So because Steve Spurrier won there in 1996, they would expect Lane Kiffin to do it too.
And dude, let's not forget, UCF is in a power program now. Conference. Now, I'm not saying UCF is ever going to, they're not going to overtake Florida. But, like, they can make life more difficult on Florida.
And they may have a better coach than Miami does. Mm-hmm. And so where I'm, and probably a better, at least more proof of concept with their coach than
for sure.
And so, So point is like, that may not be the job he wants. Now, it may be in the location he wants, although Gainesville, it's not Miami. Like, people think Florida and they think immediately, oh, we're going to the beach and going up. No, dude, that's not Gainesville.
Georgia. It's not 38, bro. This is not 38.
It's basically Georgia.
I just think that he will be here until the NFL, and this is an Ole Miss slanted view. I'm breaking. Ben is saying that Ole Miss jobs better in Florida. No, I'm not. But that's not what I'm saying. I don't know that it's much worse than Florida now, though. And so, especially given expectations, money, who you play every year, and where they're set up. Like, Ole Miss is kind of like a well-oiled machine now. Lane Kiffin at 40, whatever he is, 8, 50, mm-hmm. I don't know how old he is by now.
49, yeah.
Yeah, he's 5 years into this job. Is going to go do that again at Florida? Like,
yeah,
I think that the next move is like the Tennessee Titans or
Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Exactly. And I wouldn't blame him for that. Like, everybody wants to. Nick Saban left LSU for the NFL. I would slap him on the butt and be like, thanks, Lane. I appreciate it. It was fun. You know, next guy.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, we did the fun exercise. I think Florida is starting at least 2-4.
Here's the thing, man. I think I'm higher on Florida than market is. Like, I think they're going to be okay. It's just this schedule is ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
You open with Miami.
I think they beat Miami.
Okay. I would say Cam Ward could light you up.
Or he could fucking lose, man. Like, Cam Ward.
Yeah.
He didn't carry the team at Washington State, dude. Like, there were games where he looked lost up there.
I'm just saying. Could lose to Miami. Beat Samford. Could lose to A&M.
I think they lose to A&M.
Could lose to Mississippi State.
I think Ben's already going out on that ledge. I can't do that. I cannot give State that win.
I don't think they will, but I'm just saying you could. I think UCF beats Florida.
Man, look, if that happens, do they fire him that Monday? before Tennessee.
At that point, if that happens, the people there are going to be clamoring for DJ Lagway.
Yeah.
They're going to be begging to play the freshman. And then,
but since you mentioned him, that's been used as a reason. He has been used as a reason for why Florida may not move on Napier, because they don't want to lose Lagway.
Yeah,
that they're thought to be a package deal.
Yeah, because it's him and the name escapes me, but his guy from Louisiana that's at Florida now is like basically the closer for getting Lagway.
Exactly.
You could lose in Knoxville. Kentucky's always weird with Florida. You're going to get whipped by Georgia. Probably going to get whipped by Texas. LSU, probably going to lose. You're going to get whipped by Ole Miss. I mean, at that point, like, probably whipped by Florida State. That's a bad, bad – I mean, just after 5-7 a year ago.
I can see them being 7-3 going into Ole Miss. You may get them there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me see.
Miami win, Samford win, A&M at home win, at Mississippi State win. That's 4-0. UCF at home win, 5-0. Go to Tennessee and lose, 5-1. Kentucky at home, 6-1. 6-1. Florida, they're feeling it now. They play Georgia, lose 6-2. Go to Texas, lose 6-3. Beat LSU at home, 7-3. It's not that crazy.
Here's the thing. If they lose out, they're keeping him. You can't fire him with winning seven games against this schedule.
No, they won't fire him at 7-5. You can't. No, not with that. And I think they could get to 7-5 with that, like with that run. I mean, that's just winning the game. That's just beating A&M at home and Kentucky at home. I mean, we're talking about just holding serve at home and winning at Mississippi State. You could get to 7-5 with a loss to Ole Miss at home.
Those games you mentioned, they won't be dogs of more than 3, 3.5.
No.
In the games you mentioned. LSU, they won't be a bigger dog than 3, 3.5. At Tennessee, maybe 3.5 dog there. Maybe. In A&M, they might be favored against A&M.
Folks our age – sorry, I got my dog here. It's storming, and he's, like, freaking out. To folks our age, Florida coming to town may feel, like, Super Bowl-ish, but I don't know that it's going to – to like 19 and 20 year old college students. Like what I'm meaning is like when Florida used to play at Mississippi State, they would be geeked out of their mind and tear the goalpost down if they won and all that kind of stuff. Now, I mean, when's the last time Florida was good? Tim Tebow's older than me. I mean, he's gotta be close to 40.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 08, 09. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had a little bit of a flash with Kyle Trask and
Here's the thing. Mullen was a good fit there. Mullen was a good fit there. They just didn't like the fact that he wouldn't commit to recruiting as much as, you know.
He was winning 9 and 10 games.
Like, he went to the SEC championship game.
Yeah, go back and look at his records there. He was good. The problem for Florida is they have a built-in loss now because they play Georgia every year. And used to, they could split that game. Right now, they can't split that game. So they're starting 11-1, and then they have to play – Florida State and sometimes also Miami. I mean, that you're setting yourself up. When you play two losable non-conference games, you're dumb. Like if trade those games with Samford and Northwestern State, they go 7-5 automatically because they're going to win 4 non-conference games. They'll beat Kentucky at home. I mean, we're going to get to 7 at that point.
Yeah,
and then maybe you're safe. But instead, they're playing like the Kansas City Chiefs week 1. The Las Vegas Raiders week 12, and sandwiched in there, they got Georgia and Ole Miss.
Yeah.
So Dan Mullen went 10-3, 11-2, 8-4, and then 5-6.
And the wheels fell off at the end, but man, again, I get it. He's not a great recruiter. He never committed. He hates recruiting, notoriously hates recruiting. But like, what would Florida give for those 10-win, 11-win seasons? No,
he did go 10 and 11 wins with Jim McElwain's players. Those weren't Urban Meyer's players.
That's true.
What I'm saying is they weren't recruiting lights out. That was an average roster.
I don't think Napier survives losing to A&M, losing to State, losing to UCF, and losing to Tennessee.
No, look, if he loses –
I don't think that'll all happen, but I mean, that's all bang, 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 like right in the middle of the season.
Dude, if he loses to Miami, A&M, if State is close, and yeah. they lose to UCF, he's gone on Monday.
And you got Tennessee right after that.
Look, I think it's more likely they beat both Miami and A&M as lose to both of them. Both home games?
They're going to beat Miami. I think they're going to beat Miami.
More likely to beat Miami. I think A&M is going to be weird.
Is Mike Elko – is that's his name, right? Is he going to, yeah. like, be in, like – they're going to be in a bunch of close games. That, he's not, like, yeah. a wide-open offense type guy, is he? So,
no, he's similar to
Jimbo, man. Like, I'm yeah. not calling him Jimbo, but what I'm saying is, yeah. is, dude, you get in those offensive systems where every game's 3 points, you're just going to law of average lose some of them.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. No, he's a former defensive coordinator. I mean, he's a defensive gutted-out, grinded-out type of dude, and he hired – Kansas State's offensive coordinator, Colin Klein, they're not going to open it up. I mean, they're going to 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and he's going to play defense. His defensive line may be the best in the conference. Really good defensive line. But
Florida?
I think A&M.
A&M.
I think that's about all they've got, though.
That's with losing Walter Nolan? Dang.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. you've got they picked up Nick Skorton from Purdue.
And he was the best in the Big Ten, best pass rusher in the Big Ten.
Solomon DeShields, linebacker out of Pitt, who's really good. They got Will Lee from Kansas State, who was a really good corner. It's all on Wegman now. Max Johnson's yeah. gone. He went to North Carolina. Was okay in 2022, mm-hmm. really good in 2023, and then fractured his foot. So – how is that going to be, you know?
A&M also just lost their starting running back, right? Reuben Owens.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Which, and he's a stud. So, mm-hmm. yeah, losing that offensive line is going to be interesting because you lose Chase Bassanis and Mark Nabu Jr. Those two guys will be changing positions. So Bassanis is still there. But like they were really good at offensive tackle a year ago. All three of the projected starters on the interior were sub 65 on Pro Football Focus. So that right there is the glaring weakness for A&M. And then your running backs, your five-star running backs out. It's going to be a very Mike Elko team with defense, and just like grind it out.
Gut it out. Again, let's you want to touch Georgia briefly?
Yeah, we need to.
Okay. We'll do that and then get out of here.
We're going to be
so the question is how much of the gap have we closed since last year?
Man, they're just so good. But like, you know, Bowers is gone. McConkey is gone. That's not to say they don't have studs.
Ra-Ra is gone.
I don't know. I think the gap is big. I don't know. I think that game was bigger than what the gap is.
Agree.
I mean, we beat Georgia 45 to whatever in 2016 and we were trash by that point. So that was a way bigger beatdown than that score was. Like, we were beating them 38 to nothing at the beginning of the third quarter.
Yeah. A couple things about last year. We talked about this going into that week. We talked about this, you know, on the gambling pod, like early in the season. We were their biggest home game that year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like far and away their biggest home game. Yeah. Night game. That was the first time all season they had been healthy. All season. They get Bowers back. They get a lot of guys back. Offensive linemen back. By the way, we were down two starting tackles by the third series of the game.
I was going to say the first series, they're down.
Yeah. Pettis didn't even start, right? He didn't even play. And then Jade Williams goes out with a bum ankle, you know, two series in. Suddenly we had to reshuffle the deck. Now, again, like Ben, I'm not saying it wouldn't have been a six-point game with those guys in the game. No. I'm just saying everything went right for them. Nothing went right for us. So – I assume we go into that game. You could probably find a game of the year line right now. What do you think? Georgia -7?
I was going to say like 6.5.
I hope it's
it might be closer to like 9 or 10.
I hope it's weirdly 6.5 before 7.5 because I want them I want Vegas begging people to take Georgia.
For the Georgia money.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think it's between 7 and 10. Let's see what they look like by that point. I mean, that's late in the year. Mm-hmm. We play them like November 9th, 10th-ish.
Yeah, November 9th.
And that may be a night game. Can it be a night game?
Yeah, I think so.
It's
a flex, right?
Yeah, flex is 2:30 or night. So
yeah,
there's opportunity there for that.
And there's a real chance that depending on what everybody else does in the country, that could be a 1-2 game.
It could be.
Undefeated Ole Miss hosting undefeated Georgia, college game day. I mean, Oxford will burst at the seams. You will have to get to town on Tuesday for that game.
Let's look at it this light. Georgia at some point is going, I'm not talking about become 9-3, right? But they're going to eventually start dropping one game a year. I mean, Nick Saban's Alabama teams went 11-1 and still won the national championship. And so there's got to be a half a game regression at some point or a full game regression. I don't know that we have the – I don't know, man. They were so much bigger and faster last year. And, guys, we were good. We went 11-2, and we spanked Penn State in the bowl game. Say what you want about who played for them or whatever. But, you know, we won that game, what, 38-17 or something? I don't know what the final was. But it's going to be tough, man. They're just so good. Carson Beck does not turn the ball over. That's what stresses me out is that dude is not – he is so careful with the ball and accurate. Yeah, and, I mean, Jackson Dart's the same accurate way. But Beck's doing it with, like, I mean, they're just loaded.
Yeah.
There's really no clear weakness on this team, which is
– no.
It's wild. That's just the depth that's been built there. And you add Trevor Etienne. You get Benjamin Urosek from Stanford, a really solid tight end.
And
Colby Young from Miami at wideout. Now, Jamon Dumas Johnson's gone. He was a big part of that defense in the middle. And then Marvin Jones, the guy from Florida State, the edge, is gone.
That's one game where I wish we still had Quinn John.
Yeah.
Because to beat team, like, think about the 14-15 Alabama wins. Okay. Even with we got some bounces. I mean, Alabama got some bounces in 14, like face mask touchdown, that sort of thing. But 15, we got some bounces. Now, we caused them, but we got bounces nonetheless. Other than the tip six, we didn't cause, but like the fumbles on the kickoff, all that kind of stuff. We had matchups we could exploit. Laquan was better than Cyrus Jones in college. And so we exploited Cyrus Jones with him. And we had other great receivers. Do we have a matchup against what concerns me against this Georgia team? And I'm talking about with the players we have now. So let's say Juice Wells and Trey Harris. Trey Harris is a fantastic college receiver. And this isn't to single him out, but I'm using him as an example. Can Trey Harris dominate a Georgia corner? Like, can Juice Wells? It's going to take something like that happening for us to win. And I'm not saying Trey Harris has to, or Caden Priestcorn has to, or Juice Wells has to. You get my point. There's got to be somebody. And I'm not saying Laquan was the reason we won. Evan Engram was a huge factor in the 14. And that was a big deal in the 16 game. He was an X factor against Alabama because those linebackers could not cover him. He was too fast. And Saban would challenge the strong safeties like Landon Collins and covering Engram. I mean, do we have a mismatch outside that we can push the ball down the field or move the ball down the field in Georgia? I just don't know. I mean, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful Trey Harris can be that guy, but or that Juice Wells or Deion Smith maybe. You know, maybe he's the guy. Like, comes in and stretches the field against them.
At home, I think the goal is you have got to keep it within a one-score game heading into the fourth. at least within 10 points. Because then it's, you know, hey, all bets are off. You're at home.
Yeah.
Like, let's do it. But
wait, this will be – Kiffin will disagree because he'll say analytics or whatever. They are the one team that I really wish we didn't go fast against. Like, I wish you could shorten the game as much as possible against Georgia. Or at least, like, after you get a couple of touchdowns, like, once you get in the second quarter, let's rest our guys and run, you know, 5 minutes off the clock in a drive and maybe kick a field goal and say, you know what, let's get into the halftime and get and recoup and play a two-quarter game now. But otherwise, I mean, dude, our drives are like a minute 14 seconds. We're six plays, minute 14, 81 yards, touchdown. That's awesome, but it gives the ball right back to Carson Beck with 13 minutes and 49 seconds on the clock. And, you know, they go 4 minutes and score. And then we have to do it again. And we're matching blow for blow against NFL guys all over the field. That's the only game I'll say that about.
Juice did have a touchdown catch against them last year.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he may be. And Trey Harris may be. I'm just saying, like, those guys, it's similar to, like, you play Saban. You got to get some kind of mismatch somewhere because, man, 22 on 22, nobody else in the country looks like
that. Yeah.
Yeah. That could be a game where it's like maybe Daquan Wright gives you a matchup.
Now, they like do. It. They do. And if we want to talk about, you know, I'm not going to leave them out. Let's go schedules. They play at Texas on October 19th. They get a bye. Then they play Florida. And then they play us. And so
in the Florida game.
In Tennessee after us, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not saying that, like, there's something here. But, I mean, getting them right after the world's largest outdoor cocktail party isn't a terrible spot, especially if Florida can give them a scare. And let's be honest, coaches who are reeling, they're going to look at those rivalry games to try to muster some fan support. And Florida can't – I mean, I'm not saying that this Florida team will, but that game's been weird in the past.
Yeah. Look at this run. Alabama, Auburn, Mississippi State, Texas, Florida, Ole Miss, Tennessee. I
mean, it's tough.
Best team in the country, but that's still hard.
Yeah, I was going to say, how many teams make it through that run undefeated in the country?
Now, somebody in Georgia has got an insight in the SEC office. They get a bye before they play Alabama after they go to Kentucky. But they have to go to Alabama, but they get a bye that week. And, well, never mind, it's Florida. I was going to say they get a bye before Texas, but they get a bye before Florida and Ole Miss. So those are – look, they don't need any help. I'm being facetious, but, you know, a bye week before their biggest game of their biggest game is going to be at Alabama. It's not coming to
Oh, Austin. Yeah.
All right. It's going to be fun.
And before you say anything else, Zach, we need them to beat Alabama because we don't need them to have the one loss urgency coming to Oxford.
Yeah. That'll
the Tim Tebow, this will never happen again type urgency.
Yeah, they'll have the hair pushed behind the ears if that's the case. It'll be on. We'll have another episode later this week. We'll do our win totals. We'll do some picks for that, and then it'll be week one before we know it, and we will jump in and start doling out some winners. So, do any of y'all have it handy? What we were last year, I can find it really quick, but last year we finished 91-72-1. Easily the best year we've had.
I mean, that's an objectively really good year.
Yeah, pretty crazy. And then that was, you know, there were some weird weeks too where we had a lot of us were just over.
Yeah.
And we've typically been pretty good of we hardly would go over. We would at least get one. But yeah, 91-72-1. Like that's crazy good for picking college football.
The thing we avoided last year, knock on wood, we avoided those weeks where like all of us would go over. We're like 1-3. Like we avoided those.
Yeah, I think we only had one.
Any good team totals this year before we get off?
Man, I like too many. You mean season win team totals? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some.
We've talked about a couple of them. Like yeah, LSU 9.5, crazy town.
Yeah. We're gonna
Are
get
you going over or under?
Under.
Under 9.5?
Yeah. That was the same total they gave Jaden Daniels last year. How can this team get the same win total as the Heisman Trophy winner last year? Like how can that be the case?
Yeah. Well, we're gonna give you those picks and more later this week. But yeah, we're back. Again, appreciate College Corner bringing this show to you each and every week. And we appreciate Homefield Apparel being the title sponsor of this show every week. LastDance24 is the promo code. Go to Homefield, get you some merch. And then, yeah, be ready for those VIP boxes to come back. And when they do, you got to jump on it. The Ole Miss stuff is pretty cool. So that'll do it for this edition of Hit That Line as we are back for the 2024 season. We will have another episode later this week. We'll have more flagship podcasts. Ben Garrett will have his Talk of Champions. We'll have some Ivy League. We'll have more coverage, fall camp, all that stuff, recruiting. So stay locked in, omspirit.com. For Austin over there, for Ben, I'm Zach. This has been Hit That Line as part of the Talk of Champions Network. Until next time, we're out of here.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.